This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, and with me in the studio is, of course, Tan Chen Li. It is 7:06, Wednesday, the 11th of May. Let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Yeah, quite interesting, actually, because in the US side, Dow down 0.3%, S&P 500 up 0.3%, and Nasdaq up 1.1%. A little bit of green over there in the US market after a few days of drops. Asian market-wise, Nikkei down 0.6%, Hang Seng down 1.8%, Shanghai Composite up 1%, STI down 1.3%, FBM KLCI up 0.4%.
So rather mixed day across the board. Maybe in the US is a dead cat bounce, but we'll find out because we're going to be speaking to Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at the FS Group. Good morning, Jack. Equities in US, what a ride. If you look at NASDAQ specifically, although it did close up yesterday evening up 1%, it's still down 25% on a year-to-date basis. Time to buy the dip, Jack.
Good morning. What a ride. I mean, it's been unbelievable. I've been in markets for a long, long time. And there are certain points in your career where you stand back and you say, wow. And this has certainly been one of those times.
It's a wow moment for you?
It's a wow moment. I can still remember when I first joined, you know, one of my early firms. It was just before the GFC. And I remember waking up in the morning and catching the train to work and watching the news and thinking, wow. And I'm in that moment at the moment. You know, a couple of months ago, I was on your show, as I am regularly every fortnight, and I talked about there was a bit of a dip early on, or late last year, and I talked about the buy the dip mentality. And until we break that buy the dip mentality, we were going to see markets rally back. That has certainly been broken, particularly in growth and tech stocks, undoubtedly. Valuations are looking attractive. I mean, when we look at some of these bigger players like our Microsofts, like our Alphabets, even like our Meta platforms, I mean, their valuations are looking more attractive than they've ever looked for quite a number of years. The market is still gauging where inflation is going to be and how hard these rate hike cycles are going to be. Now, this is the unpredictability of the market at the moment. Last week, we saw the Fed raise interest rates and the market rallied. 3.5% on the NASDAQ. It was actually the biggest rally we'd seen on tech stocks since March 2020. And then the next day, the fickleness of this market, we see it, you know, plunge another 4%. And that's the volatility and the unsureness that we're dealing with. If we stretch out tech stocks and we look at it over 10 to 15 years, particularly the QQQs, then you can see the benefit of owning this over the long term. Now, whether the bounce is, you know, whether we're in a dead cat bounce or this is the bottom, it's very hard to say. But what I will say, and I think I said this 2 weeks ago on your show, is that I think we're going to look at this 2022 as an accumulation phase for some of these great companies that have stood the test of time. And I still believe that to be so. Now, we've got a really big inflation data, key figure coming out tonight. I feel like expectation theory in economics is going to start to play out. I mean, the Fed has been signaling that inflation is an issue, that they're prepared to do everything they can to put that under control. And I think that'll start to feed into some of the discretionary products in the market and the consumer, which makes a big part. So it's a WOW moment, but I feel like if we then look back over the next couple of years, this is a great accumulation time if you've got cash, and cash is king at the moment, no doubt.
Okay, but Jack, should we, staying on the topic or the theme of tech, how do we pick the winners? Do we then go back very much to the quality names, those that have strong cash generation? Because the ones that have done really badly have been the work from home themes. But are those dead?
Yeah, I don't believe so. And I don't believe the likes of Zooms are work from home stocks anymore. I think they're part of everyday life. I mean, I look at a Zoom and I start to see the way it is used, the way enterprises use Zoom in terms of video calls. And I think, you know, I still believe Zoom is going to be a product we're going to be using for quite a long time. And it's part of everyday life. Now, valuations were stretched and it got ahead of itself. You know, so I don't believe some of these work from home stocks should be classified as work from home stocks. I think they're everyday stocks that we use. The way I would go right now is definitely towards those quality names that have very high cash balances. And at some stage, some of these technical work from home stocks will start to get attractive. But I still believe looking at a QQQ or a broad-based ETF and accumulating that over time will do well for an investor if they have a long-term outlook.
And since we're talking about work from home theme, you know, what about food delivery industry? Because it seems to be coming off the cliff as economies reopen. Is this a sector that has reached its floor?
Well, I think, look, I compare food delivery to ride sharing before the pandemic, right? And what happened with ride sharing was it actually started to become a nice margin business. If you look at Uber before the pandemic, they were looking towards profitability and achieving that, and their margins were increasing in terms of their ride sharing. What you also saw in terms of ride sharing is you saw a consolidation of these businesses. So, you know, we started ride sharing with 10 to 15 businesses globally. We now really only have 3 to 4 major players around the world who participate in ride sharing. And that is just part and parcel, a part of global economies and urbanization and mega cities. The same thing will happen, I believe, with food delivery. We're not going to stop getting our food delivered. In fact, I think that's going to increase over time. But the margins are an issue right now. And there are so many multiple players all chucking a massive amount of money to try to capture that market share. So as that business matures, I think it'll do really well. Once you start to get more dark kitchens, once you start to get automated deliveries, once the network becomes even greater, I think there's money to be made in that, but you're in a consolidation phase, and that obviously isn't a great phase to be as an investor.
Okay, Jack, the one thing that has been pulled back, and that's because Goldman Sachs has done so, is they're pulling back from SPACs after the US SEC indicated greater regulatory oversight into these blank check companies. What do you think about this? I mean, will it make it harder for Australian and Asian firms in the future to list, like Grab, which has done so?
Well, they've been a disaster. I mean, they've been an absolute disaster. You know, the last 2.5 years of SPACs have been a blight on capital markets. And, you know, my statement to the SEC is, where were you? You know, and the only people that got burnt during these SPACs, most people are everyday investors. You know, this has been a disgrace. SPACs have been an absolute disgrace to the market and showed you how blown up and how full it was. And the only people that made money on it were the people that were charging the fees. So
the bankers, you mean?
Yeah. It's been a disgrace. It's been the way they've performed pre-market, post-market, the way distribution, it's been in pipes. It's been an absolute disgrace to the market. And the SEC has been completely behind. And unfortunately, it's the retail investor that gets stuck with it at the end who don't have the balance sheet to do so. So, you know, too late is my opinion. And in terms of, you know, IPO or raising or getting publicly listed, well, it just shows you old-fashioned IPOs were a good way to do it. And it's been shameful, to be honest with you, what's happened with these SPACs and the amount of ridiculous money that's been raised for companies that shouldn't have the valuations or shouldn't be listed on public markets.
But doesn't that back the question, Jack, that at the end of the day, you have to do your own due diligence, not get caught up in the hype and go back to valuations as a guidance as to whether to participate or not?
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, that sounds amazing. But unfortunately, we don't live in that type of world. And, you know, people are going to be caught up in it. Look, there's an onus on companies and regulators to have proper valuations when they list. I think that has to be part of the process, right? You know, not everybody is going to read through the prospectus. You know, there is an element to protect the mum and dad investor, and that's what the regulator must do. And they haven't done that in this scenario. And the other thing is, it's not a great look, you know, seeing these SPACs listing and then falling off 50 or 60%, you know, and that's to say, that's to be good to some of them. So I think there's got to be tighter regulation, and, you know, there has to be an onus on the banks, these fund managers, when they put these valuations up, that they must be at least watertight, or there must be some basis to them. And that's the issue that, that we're facing at the moment. But, I mean, it's too little too late at the moment. And, you know, it's a bit of a shame, to be honest with you.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, telling us his views on SPACs, that everything is a little bit too late. And I want to highlight one big SPAC, and that is Grab. I didn't realize it is $2.75. I think it listed at $13. What a drop.
Wow. Massive plummeting here.
Yeah. So this is basically markets being very impatient in terms of whether this company can reach a certain breaking point, breaking even point. And clearly there is a big difference between private and public markets. Looks like investors aren't very patient with this name at all.
SPAC is always something that is very curious to me in terms of...
I think, in a way, I disagree with Jack in that I think there is a role to play for in markets for SPACs. We shouldn't dismiss it entirely. But I think it's also not for every investor.
Mm.
Yeah, and that it's still somewhat the buyer caveat, emptor. You need to know what you're buying.
Yes, even in our markets in Malaysia, we have several SPACs that actually went listing, but only two, if I remember correctly, that actually managed to get a qualifying acquisition, which is Hibiscus and Real Energy. So the rest of them didn't seem to get the QA, and then they dissolve after 3 years.
Yeah. So it's not that there's no role for them. There is, but just bear in mind. But nonetheless, if I look at Grab, right, there's still 12 buyers, 12 analysts that recommend a buy. 4 holes, 3 sells, consensus target price for the stock, $5.53. Current share price, like I said, $2.75. I'm in that Malaysian mode, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.